Hey, good morning, church family. Sorry to be coming to you like this, but the fact is I tested positive for COVID yesterday morning, and so I'm in quarantine for 5 days, and it's been a little while since I've preached, and I haven't preached a whole lot in the last 6 or 8 weeks, and I thought it'd be kind of hard to drop Acts 17 on somebody's lap at the last second. So I asked him, hey, what if we just recorded this, and then we can just play it on Sunday morning. He said, all right, let's give it a shot. And I was talking to one of the elders earlier, and he thought it sounded like a good idea also. And so here we are. We're just going to do this by way of video. And again, I'm sorry I can't be with you live to worship with you and to bring this message to you there in person. But 5 days quarantine, 5 days of masks, so I'll be there next Sunday. All right. Hey, let me pray for us, and then we'll get started. Father, thank you so much for this morning, and thank you for our church family. Thank you that we could come together and worship you and lift your name up on high, because you deserve every bit of our praise and adoration. So, Father, I pray that as we open up your word, that you would lead us through it, that you would speak to us and help us to have ears to hear what you have to teach us, Lord. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Well, as you probably are aware by now, if you've been attending church with us at all in the last 5 or 6 months, that we are in the series on the book of Acts called Unleashed. And my prayer is that you've been able to understand why we call it Unleashed as we've gone through the message series. We've seen the Holy Spirit unleashed. We've seen the gospel message unleashed. We've seen the disciples unleashed to take the message to a lost and dying world. And so all of these things are being unleashed. So I hope that you have been able to see that and capture that as we've gone through the book of Acts. And the book of Acts is important for us because it's the history book of the New Testament, and it tells us about the beginning of the first church and how we can even have a church today being Gentile people as opposed to Jewish people, because God opened the doors for us to understand and hear the word and to have salvation as well. We're about in the last third or so of the book of Acts. And I also hope that you've been tracking about the different themes and the things that are happening in the book of Acts. The first, about half of the book was really about Peter's leadership. It's obviously the whole thing is about the Holy Spirit. But we see identified for us Peter and just the leadership action that he took and the important role that he took in bringing the message to the Gentiles, for example, the leadership that he brought to the disciples in adding a 12th. And so his leadership has been very clear. He and John were doing miraculous signs and wonders. And so the Holy Spirit is active and living in them. And so that was happening in the first half of the book. And the second half of the book, maybe a little more than that, we really turn our attention to this guy named Paul. And we first are introduced to him as a guy named Saul. And again, most of you know this, but in the event that you've not been with us the whole time, I really want to catch you up, because Saul is a very important character in the book of Acts and with the starting of the first church. And so Saul was a Pharisee. He was a Roman citizen. He's a Jewish man. And he was so zealous for God that he was getting letters from the high officials from the temple jail to go drag people away from their homes to put them under arrest for believing and teaching about Jesus. And so that's what Saul was doing. And he sat there as Stephen was stoned to death as well. And so Saul was on the road to Damascus, and he had this experience where Jesus spoke to him and said, why are you persecuting me? He made it to Damascus. Ananias welcomed him, and it was a little hard for Ananias to do that, but he welcomed him. He said, Peter, what are you waiting for? Rise up, be baptized, have your sins washed away. And so Paul had this conversion experience. And he then went from tearing down the church and tearing down the work of the gospel to establishing the work of the gospel around the then known world. He then was set aside with his friend Barnabas to go on what we call missionary journeys. Now, if you're, again, not part of the church, not familiar with church, you probably still understand the concept of a missionary. A missionary is someone, basically, we think of missionaries as someone that we send to a foreign land. We support them and take care of them the best that can. They go to a distant land and they share the gospel. Now, that's a pretty broad or maybe even too narrow of a definition of a missionary. Missionaries can work locally. Missionaries can work domestically as well. But basically, they're sent out to take the message and the work of the gospel to an area where people are that have not heard that gospel message. So Paul and Barnabas were set aside to go on this missionary journey. And as they went, they took this guy named John Mark with them, and John Mark abandoned them. And as Ephraim shared with you and talked about on graduation Sunday, this really caused a big issue, because on the second missionary journey, after Paul and Barnabas got back to Antioch, and they're telling everybody what happened, and all this great work that's being done, they're going out on a second missionary journey. And Barnabas says, hey, I want to take John Mark again. I want to give him another shot. And we should expect that of Barnabas. He's the son of encouragement, right? But instead, Paul says, no, I'm not doing that again. And we probably have people like that in our life, that they are able to give the tough news. They're able to give the tough love and say, listen, you abandoned us once. We can't afford to have that happen. You need to grow up some. I don't know what the conversation was. But we know in the Bible that it says their dispute was so harsh that they separated. And so Paul then took Silas, and he ran across a guy named Timothy, which Jeff would say talked about last week. And then Barnabas went on with John Mark, we assume, but we don't really have any records of their travels. And so Paul is going on the second missionary journey. He's going with Silas. He's picked up Timothy along the way. He's kind of a spiritual father to Timothy. And he's going on the second missionary journey to plant churches and to tell people about the gospel of Jesus. And while he's gone on these missionary journeys, he oftentimes will write letters. Sometimes he's doing it from jail, because he's thrown in jail for raising a ruckus. He's thrown in jail for, you know, they would say falsely teaching. And so they put him in jail. And I want to point us to one letter in particular, the book of Colossians, that Paul wrote to this church in Colossae. And I want to point out, and I was looking at this with our life group this past week, but in Colossians 4, verses 2 through 5, it says this: continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. At the same time, pray also for us, that God may open to us a door for the word, to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I am in prison, that I may make it clear which is how I ought to speak. So Paul says, I'm in prison, I'm sharing the gospel message, and I want to declare the mystery of Christ, so be praying for me. And that in itself ought to be a lesson for us. We ought to be praying probably more than we do for our missionaries. We need to be lifting them up. They're doing a great work, a hard work, a very difficult work, raising funds, doing all these things, trying to share the gospel. And we ought to be praying for our missionaries. But we also ought to be praying for open doors, that we might be able to take the message of the gospel to others. But he goes on to say this: walk in wisdom toward outsiders. That's a key. Making the best use of the time. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. I was visiting a church this past Sunday with my son. My wife and I came back from vacation. We got in late Saturday night to Flint, so we drove down to Detroit to go to church with Andrew and his wife Lauren to a 242 church. And the sermon series that they're currently in was about taking the gospel message to work. I think they called it "What About Mondays" or something like that. But anyway, in his message, one of the last points he made was, he said, share the gospel at work, but don't be weird. That kind of, I cringed a little bit, but then I kind of chuckled. Because we know that there are times when, instead of building relationships and really listening to people to be able to share the gospel message, we oftentimes start to do and say things that might come across as pushy, or might come across as pushing people away from the gospel. And so Paul says, listen, when it comes to outsiders, walk in wisdom toward them. Make the best use of the time. Let your speech be gracious and seasoned with salt, so that you'll know how to answer each person. In other words, walking around saying, hey, do you know Jesus? Well, then how does it feel going to hell? Probably is not the best way to be able to build relationships and probably make inroads to somebody. We then will be called to say, hey, you're judging me, or what makes you so special, or why are you doing this? And it really doesn't give us the inroad to be able to share the gospel with people. But anyway, I wanted us to hear what Saul had to say, what Paul had to say to the church at Colossae, because when we come to Acts chapter 17, which is where we're going to rest today, we're going to see some of that come into play, all right? And I want us to see that. So Acts chapter 17, verses 1 through 9. Now, when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, and again, this is Paul and Silas and Timothy and Luke. Luke is chronicling things as they go. They came to Thessalonica, where there was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul went in, as was his custom, and on three Sabbath days he reasoned with them from the scriptures. We've talked about this a handful of times, that when Paul went into a town, he would first go to the synagogue and reason with the people there. That seemed to be the low-hanging fruit. People that knew who God was, had a relationship with him, that he could introduce Jesus and point to the scriptures and point to the prophets so that they could understand. So for three Sabbaths, it says he reasoned with them from the scriptures. That's a very important phrase, right? Explaining and proving that it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead, and saying, "This Jesus who I proclaim to you is the Christ." And some of them were persuaded and joined Paul and Silas, as did a great many of the devout Greeks and not a few of the leading women. But the Jews were jealous. And taking some wicked men of the rabble, they formed a mob, set the city in an uproar, and attacked the house of Jason, seeking to bring them out to the crowd. And when they could not find them, they dragged Jason and some of the brothers before the city authorities, shouting, "These men who have turned the world upside down have come here also, and Jason has received them. And they are all acting against the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king, Jesus." And the people and the city authorities were disturbed when they heard these things, and when they had taken money as security from Jason and the rest, they let them go. So he goes to the city called Thessalonica, and he preaches the gospel. First he goes to the synagogue, and not a few people believed and listened, and not a few women listened as well. So we're seeing this gospel message. It's not just for men. It's not just for the leaders of the home. It's for everyone to be able to hear and to respond to. And that's what happens in Thessalonica. But then some Jews come into the play, and they start causing a ruckus, and they round up some bad apples, if you will. That's probably an old term, sorry. And these bad apples get together, and they go looking for the disciples so that they can bring them before the officials and say, "Hey, they're doing this and this." They couldn't find them, so where do they go? They go to the guy that's guilty by association, this guy named Jason. It's thought that Jason is probably wealthy because he, one, took them in. But secondly, that he also put up the surety for bail so that they could get out. Okay, so Jason probably was a wealthy guy, became a Christian. He's helping them, receiving them, and he was drugged before them. And listen to what the accusation was. They're saying they follow another king, Jesus. Now, that's a really important point that is made about them. Because when it comes to you and I, when we say that Jesus is Lord, we're saying that nobody else is. And when it comes to the Jewish people and the Gentiles in this area, in the Roman Empire, when they proclaim Jesus as Lord, they're saying that Caesar is not. And those are some pretty strong words. Those are some pretty strong words. And so they took money from Jason, and they let him go. But Paul reasoned with his listeners from God's word. That's the important part of this. He came into this group of people, went to the synagogue, reasoned with them from the scriptures. Why would he reason with them from the scriptures? Because the scriptures would tell them that there is supposed to be a Messiah that comes to save the world of their sins. And so Paul uses scripture to point to that. He uses scripture to help them understand this Jesus, who you crucified, was the Messiah. And he's come to save. And he can be your Savior and Lord as well. He reasoned with them from the word. Now, these are some very familiar passages of scripture, right? And I've shared these before, and really not even too long ago. Hebrews 4:12, "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart." 2 Timothy 4, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching." That was Paul's message to Timothy. In 2 Timothy 3, "All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work." God's word is enough for us to reason from. And if we reason from God's word, and people still will not come around to understanding the gospel message and accept Jesus, that's really the point where we shake the dust off our sandals and say, "Listen, I tried. I confronted you with the gospel message, and I did so from God's word, and you're not accepting it." You can still pray with that person. You might still look for inroads to make. But beyond reasoning from God's word with people. That's our responsibility. That's our responsibility. And that's what Paul did. And what was the result? 1 Thessalonians. This is a letter to these Thessalonians in Thessalonica. We give thanks to God always for all of you, constantly mentioning you in our prayers, remembering before our God and Father your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers, loved by God, that he has chosen you, because our gospel came to you not only in word, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and with full conviction. You know what kind of men we proved to be among you for your sake. And you became imitators of us and of the Lord. For you received the word in much affliction with the joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became an example to all the believers in Macedonia and in Achaia. For not only has the word of the Lord sounded forth from you, Macedonia and Achaia, but your faith in God has gone forth everywhere, so that we need not say anything. So what does it say? It says in this letter to the Thessalonians, Paul said, you took the message that we proclaimed to you, and you ran with it. You became imitators of us. You continued to spread the gospel. You did a great job. Man, I would love to have that same things said about us as a church and me as a believer and as a preacher to say, you took the word and you reasoned from it. You used it to teach and exhort and to train and to disciple and to spread the gospel. And because of that, you've become imitators of Paul himself. You've become imitators of the people wanting to spread the gospel. All right, Acts 17, 10 through 15. The brothers immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. And when they arrived, they went into the Jewish synagogue. Now, these Jews were were more noble than those in Thessalonica. And listen why. They received the word with all eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see if these things were so. Many of them, therefore, believed, with not a few Greek women of high standing as well as men. But when the Jews from Thessalonica learned that the word of God was proclaimed by Paul at Berea also, they came there too, agitating and stirring up the crowds. Then the brothers immediately sent Paul off on his way to the sea, but Silas and Timothy remained there. Those who conducted Paul, took care of him as handlers, if you will, brought him as far as Athens, and after receiving a command for Silas and Timothy to come to him as soon as possible, they departed. This is what I want us to understand about the Bereans. The Bereans checked God's word before agreeing with Paul. They checked God's word before agreeing with Paul. So Paul came with the message of the gospel, opening up scriptures, reasoning from God's word, just like he did in Thessalonica. But the Bereans, they took it all in with eagerness. We want to learn. And then they went back and they opened up their scriptures and they agreed and said, yeah, we see that. We see that. We see that. And oh, to be a Berean. Oh, to be a Berean. I think there are times when we take things in and we take the person that's saying them at face value. And we don't go check for ourselves to see what scripture says. But not the Bereans. The Bereans are like, listen, we're going to listen to you and we're going to write stuff down. We're going to take notes. But we're going to go back and we're going to check scripture to make sure we agree with what you're saying. And so the Bereans, they check God's word before they just went blindly agreeing with Paul. They said, we're going to listen to, or we're going to read scripture. We're going to listen to you. We're going to match things up to see how they fit together. Okay? All right. The next section is a little long, so I apologize. I'll probably read a little fast. Now, while Paul was waiting for them at Athens, so he's waiting for Silas and Timothy at Athens, his spirit was provoked within him, love that, as he saw that the city was full of idols. So he reasoned in the synagogues with the Jews and the devout persons and in the marketplace every day with those who happened to be there. Some of the Epicurean and Stoic philosophers also conversed with him. And some said, what does this babbler wish to say? Others said, he seems to be a preacher of foreign divinities, because he was preaching Jesus and the resurrection. And they took him and brought him to the Areopagus, saying, may we know what this new teaching is that you're presenting? For you're bringing some strange things to our ears. We wish to know, therefore, what these things mean. Now all the Athenians and the foreigners who lived there would spend their time in nothing except telling or hearing something new. So they were all about just new information, right? They would hear new things, tell new things, kind of like getting online or on Facebook and seeing something new, and you start spreading that because it's just a new thing, a new theory, new philosophy, new whatever that you just want to spread. So Paul, standing in the midst of the Areopagus, said, "Men of Athens, I perceive that in every way you're very religious," right? "We all worship something. For as I passed along and observed the objects of your worship, I found also an altar with this inscription, 'To the unknown God.' What therefore you worship as unknown, this I proclaim to you. The God who made the world and everything in it, being Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in temples made by man, nor is he served by human hands, as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mankind life and breath and everything. And he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth," Jesus, "having determined allotted periods and the boundaries of their dwelling place, that they should seek God and perhaps feel their way toward him and find him. Yet he is actually not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as even some of your own poets have said, 'For we are indeed his offspring.'" So he's quoting some of their poets now. "Being then God's offspring, we ought not to think that the divine being is like gold or silver or stone, an image formed by the art and imagination of man. The times of ignorance God overlooked, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent, because he has fixed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed. And of this he has given assurance to all by raising him from the dead." And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, but others said, "We'll hear you again about this." So Paul went out from their midst. Some men joined him and believed. Among them also were Dionysius the Areopagite and a woman named Damaris and others with them. So God provoked Paul, and Paul provoked the Athenians. God provoked Paul, and Paul provoked the Athenians. So what took place? Paul was provoked by his spirit to say, "I'm going to go into Athens, and I'm going to reason with these people. I'm going to reason with them." And so he goes in. These are great thinkers of the time. They are looking for the newest this, the newest that. They're listening to all these people coming and going through their trade town, and they're listening to these different thoughts and ideas, and they want to take them in, and they want to reason them to be truth, and they want to share those as well. And they're just constantly asking questions, constantly wanting to learn. Do you know somebody like that in your life? Do you know somebody in your life just constantly is asking questions? That intellectual just wants to know one more piece of information, one more piece of information. And sometimes they just drive you nuts, don't they? Sometimes people are so ingrained in wanting to know the next thing, the new thing, or the new piece of information that they just continue to come up with new ideas and question things and philosophies and all that kind of stuff. So that's what Paul is arguing with these people. And as he's reasoning the best he can from the word, what he's really doing is sharing with them who Jesus is. You guys are worshiping this unknown God. Let me tell you about this unknown God. This unknown God created everything. He created everything through Jesus. And he sent him to die for you so that we could all repent and have salvation in his name. When the Holy Spirit is unleashed within us, the audience doesn't matter. Just the action of listening and proclaiming. When the Holy Spirit is unleashed within us, the audience doesn't matter. Just the action of listening and proclaiming. So this is what I want us to gather from this. All right, so we could do some history about the Epicurean, Stoic philosophers, all that kind of stuff, and what exactly they're teaching and what they would come to know and all that. And you can do that kind of research on your own if you like to do that. This is what I wanted to point out, okay? I wanted to point out that Paul went to Thessalonica, and some people listened. Some people formed a mob to kick him out, but they listened, and they agreed with him, all right? They listened to what he had to say from God's word, and they said, okay, I get that. I believe that. The next group he went to, they listened, but instead of saying, okay, they went back, and they checked God's word and said, all right, yes, we agree with you after looking at God's word and now seeing what you're talking about. We agree with that. And the third group of people were philosophers, the great thinkers of the time, the people that just wanted to continue thinking. It was probably going to be a tough audience, a tough crowd, if you will, to be able to go into and start telling about Jesus, because they're going to tell you all these different things. It would be like going into an atheist science classroom at a college and saying, listen, I want to tell you about creationism, and being laughed out the door. That was probably similar to what Paul would have experienced at that time. But he wasn't afraid, right? He went into that crowd anyway, stirred by the Spirit. And so there are two perspectives that I want us to have here. Number one, when it comes to you and I listening and learning about God's word and about who he is, What kind of listener are you? Are you a listener that listens and believes? Are you part of the mob that wants to tear down Scripture and tear down the Bible because you think it's too polarizing, that it's not accepting enough, that you just don't get it? What kind of listener are you? Are you a listener like the Bereans, that when something is shared with you, you go back to your Bible and you read into it, you dig into it, and you say, okay, I see this, I get this. Are you like a Berean? Or are you like these philosophers in Athens? They're always looking for the next thing. I want to know the next thing. I want to know the next theory of thought. I want to know the next new way of thinking about life and about creation, and I'm never going to be satisfied. Which kind of person are you when it comes to listening to God's word? And the second perspective I want us to look at this passage of scripture in Acts 17 is this. When it comes to you and I sharing the gospel, we're going to come across all three people. We're going to come across people that we share the gospel with, and be it because the Holy Spirit's working on their life, be it because they've been through a valley and they need something like this and you're sharing hope with them, we're going to come across people that absolutely get it, receive it, accept it, and say, yes, I'm all in. And I hope you've had that experience. I hope you've met that person that you've shared the gospel with, because, man, that's an encouraging situation. You're also going to come across some Bereans. You're going to come across some people that when you share something with them, they're going to want to go check it out. They're going to want to go look and look through Scripture. They're going to look through Google. They're going to look through commentaries and say, okay, what does this mean? Let's face it, there are going to be people from different faith families, like Jehovah's Witness or the Mormons, and quite frankly, Catholics, sometimes just different denominations in general. And you're going to want to share with them what you see in God's Word. And they're going to say, I'm going to go back to God's Word. I'm going to check that out for myself. And you're going to have a great conversation. And I'm here to tell you, that's okay. We ought to be reasoning from God's Word. We ought to be reasoning from God's Word. And third, you may run across some people like those in Athens that are never satisfied, always looking for the next school of thought. I had a conversation with a young man not too long ago, and he didn't believe in God. At least he would say that. But as he was talking, I could tell he didn't know anything about God. He was listening to other things online. He was listening, Googling things on the internet, but he wouldn't look into God's Word and just study God's Word and say, well, let me know about this God first, and then let me compare him to everything else that I see out there. And we're going to come across that. I was with some preachers this week. That's where I got COVID. And we were doing some sermon planning. And this one preacher said he has a 10-year-old grandson. And he said, Grandpa, I'm not sure I believe in God. And so this guy's been reasoning with his grandson, trying to help him understand. He's like, Andy, the only thing I can think is that he's going online and finding these things, because where would a 10-year-old come up with this stuff? And so all this outside influence is around our kids, our grandkids, our friends, our coworkers, our family members. It's just out there for people saying, oh, that sounds really good. But what did Paul say to Timothy in 2 Timothy? He said, preach the word. But he said, there's going to come a time when people just have itching ears. They're just longing to hear what they want to hear. And so we need to be faithful. But we need to know that when we go into conversations, we may come across some Athenians. People that want to just argue. They just are looking for the next thing. So what's the takeaway from all this? Number one, are you ready? This is going to be earth-shattering for you. Read God's Word. Read the Bible. Read the Bible. This summer, starting this Thursday, yes, I'll be out of quarantine, but I'll have a mask on at church for men. We're going to just start at 7 o'clock every week for 12 weeks, just going over an overview of the Bible. It's important for us to understand the big story of God's Word, the big story of the Bible, so that we might be able to share it with others confidently and reasoning from His Word. Our mission statement here, you know it, helping people journey with Jesus. And one of the vision statements is seeking Scripture. We need to know God's Word. We need to be in it daily. We need to understand it so that we might be able to reason with people from God's Word. And it is adequate enough to deal with any situation that we come up with. And if people don't believe, after we've shared with them, sometimes, again, we just have to shake the dust off our sandals and say, listen, I tried. A reason from God's word. That's the best I got. The universe's bestseller. That's what I've reasoned to you from. And you still are denying it and not getting it. The second point of application, if you will, is this. When we accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, we have the Holy Spirit living inside of us. We have the Holy Spirit living inside of us. And the Holy Spirit is going to stir us to share the gospel. He's going to stir us to go share our faith with somebody that doesn't know Jesus. And we can either be like the church in Corinth, who Paul said in 1 Corinthians 3, I can't even talk to you like spiritual people because you're not listening to the Holy Spirit. Or we can be a people that are in tune with the Holy Spirit living inside of us, trusting Him, as Jesus said, to give us the words that we need to speak in any situation, and trusting that He'll give us the opportunities to share the gospel. Don't deny or forget the fact that God is living inside of you if you've surrendered your life to Jesus. You have that resource. You have access to that. And the two things that I read in this Acts 17 that were just so impactful to me were that Paul reasoned from the scripture, and it's available for us to reason from as well. And he was provoked by his spirit. And I'm guessing that God's Holy Spirit is provoking you and I as well, provoking us to share the gospel. And yes, we'll come across people that listen to it and agree and say, okay, yes, I want this. We'll come across people that say, let me check on your work and make sure I agree with it. And we'll come across people, yes, that just want to reason and reason and reason. And we might be confused and they'll be confused and we get to nowhere. I don't know. But the fact is, we've still been called to share the gospel. And we have the Holy Spirit living inside of us to give us the words to speak. And we have God's word to reason from. To reason from, so that others might come to know this all makes sense. This grand story of the Bible, this grand story of God makes sense. When people are presented it to them in a way that they can understand the story of the Bible and the Holy Spirit's working in our life and in their life, lives are changed. Lives are changed. And thanks for hanging out today. I apologize I couldn't be there in person. But I did want to bring this message from Acts 17 for you. If you're here today and you've not accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior, listen, please don't go home without talking with one of our elders or one of our staff members. We'll have some elders that will be over at the stairs on your left, I hope. They should be there. And they'll be glad to pray with you and to just help you understand what it means, what salvation is. And we really want to have that conversation with you. And if you're here today as a believer, my prayer for you is that you'd listen to the Holy Spirit, you'd dive into God's word, and that with those two tools, access to the greatest word ever and the story of the greatest being ever, and with the Holy Spirit being active inside your life, that we'll make a difference in our community, we'll make a difference in our state, we'll make a difference in our country, we'll make a difference around the world as missionaries, just like Paul and Barnabas and Silas and Timothy and Luke and John Mark, just as they spread the gospel around the world, that we could support that as well. I love you guys. Let me pray for us. Father, again, thank you for this morning and the opportunity to be able to open up your word and share from it. Father, may we be people of the word, knowing the power that lies between the two covers. May we understand the story of God more clearly every single day. And Lord, may we be in tune with your spirit, knowing where you are pushing us, where you are pointing us, where you are directing us to share the gospel, knowing that different people will be listening in different ways, but being faithful to your word and listening to the Spirit, trusting that you'll show us the fruit from our labors. We love you, Lord God. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I love you guys. We'll see you next Sunday.